one lady.
Yeah, Aaron doesn't count.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
So, calling to order the meeting of the Lebanon Township Committee on April 18th, 2018, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger.
The switch is underneath.
Yeah.
It's probably turned off.
Why did they make it?
There you go. Thanks.
All right.
So if everyone would rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our service women. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So the first item of business would normally be their presentation of minutes, but due to some delays in preparation, they are not available tonight. So we'll go right on to the public comment period. This is the first public comment, limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion?
I make a motion to open the meeting
to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, they can come up to the microphone. Seeing none.
So moved.
Motion to close.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Tonight, we have the pleasure of a number of proclamations for Eagle Scout awards that are coming up. I'll read the first one in its entirety, and we'll look for a motion to approve all of the proclamations for the Eagle Scouts after I get through all of them. So I'll read the first one and then give the highlights of the work of the different ones. So the first is for Evan Bordeaux for receiving the Eagle Scout Award. Whereas the conferring of an Eagle Scout is one of the highest awards that can be bestowed upon a Boy Scout, and whereas such award is an earned award in that the recipient must perform and successfully complete and pass the rigid requirements exacted to achieve an Eagle Scout Award, and whereas Evan Bordeaux, Boy Scouts of America Troop 92, attained the designation of Eagle Scout, and whereas Evan Bordeaux is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved the refurbishing of the Glen Gardner Park by repainting the equipment and replacing wood on the benches. Whereas due to Evan's efforts and the support of Mayors Matthias Schroeder, Parks and Recreation Head Lisa Fielding, and many volunteers, the newly enhanced Borough Park can be enjoyed by the residents and visitors of Glen Gardner. And whereas Evan Bordeaux will be honored and receive his award at an Eagle Court of Honor recognition ceremony on April 29, 2018, and whereas the Lebanon Township Committee wishes to recognize this noteworthy achievement of Evan Bordeaux, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Mayor and Township Committee of the Township of Lebanon hereby extend their congratulations to Eagle Scout Evan Bordeaux for having an Eagle Scout Award conferred upon him by the Boy Scouts of America. In addition, the second Eagle Scout, there are six of them, the second Eagle Scout, Ryan Bordeaux, same proclamation, whereas Ryan Bordeaux is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved the revitalization of Glen Gardner's Hunts Park. The project consisted of the laying of stone in the parking lot, the cleaning and staining of the picnic tables and waste baskets, the upgrading of a small trail, planting of flowers, and the replacement of old rusty barbecues. And whereas, due to Ryan's efforts and the support of the Glen Gardner DPW, the Parks and Recreation, and many volunteers, the newly renovated Hunts Park can again be enjoyed by the community. In addition, Stephen Axelson. Whereas Stephen Axelson is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved building and installing a commercial-grade batting cage at Voorhees High School. With the assistance of his project coach, Mr. Mike Cento, his project liaison, varsity baseball coach Corey Kent, and the community volunteers, and whereas due to Stephen's efforts, the Voorhees High School baseball teams will benefit from this project for training purposes, which will undoubtedly assist in enhancing team performance. In addition, Cole Combatus, if I said that nearly right, whereas Cole Combatus is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved the renovation of the pavilion at the Glen Gardner VFW, with the assistance of Mr. Al Williams and other members of the VFW. Whereas Cole's project included the painting of the gable and columns of the pavilion and the installation of a new drainage basin surrounding it. Then we have Griffin Stasek. Whereas Griffin Stasek is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved painting, mulching, and maintenance at Happy Face Nursery School, as well as fundraising for and the designing of sandbox covers. And whereas, due to Griffin's efforts, Happy Face Nursery School meets state regulations and is a safe and cheerful environment for the children. And we have Amzie Clausen. Whereas Amzie Clausen is to be commended for his Eagle Scout service project, which involved creating a plan and constructing an outdoor classroom at the Valley View School with the assistance of his mentor, Stuart Soulwater, head custodian, Mr. Ed Bellinger, and volunteers. And whereas, due to AMSI's efforts, the students are now able to learn in a way not possible in a traditional indoor classroom, and the teachers are provided with a new and creative way of teaching. With those proclamations, if the committee would like to make a motion to approve the proclamations.
I would like to make a motion to approve the Eagle Scout proclamations.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Congratulations to all of them.
As a side note, like I told, I mentioned, is Amzie Clausen is the grandson of a previous principal of Valley View School.
Hmm.
So it was just probably one of his thought process of, you know,
giving back
and, you know, and honoring his grandfather.
We have one more proclamation, which we do on an annual basis. This is a proclamation for the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life of Hunterdon County. Whereas cancer is a group of diseases characterized by uncontrolled growth and spread of abnormal cells, which, if not controlled, can result in premature death. And whereas cancer is predicted to strike one out of every three Americans sometime in our lifetimes, with an estimated 52,000 new cases of cancer diagnosed in New Jersey for 2018. And whereas approximately 16,000 residents are expected to lose their battle with cancer this year. And whereas the American Cancer Society is the nation's largest and most respected voluntary health organization and has funded research which has contributed to every known method for detecting cancer and techniques for treating cancer, reducing the number of cancer deaths by 2.1 million since 1991. And whereas the American Cancer Society is a voluntary, community-based coalition of local citizens dedicated to attacking cancer from every angle through financial support and education awareness. And whereas the color purple is the signature color of the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life events, signifying the passion that cancer survivors and their families and loved ones feel for the eradication of this disease. Whereas the Relay for Life of Hunterdon County event financially benefits the American Cancer Society's research and patient support programs and educationally benefits our local citizens. And whereas the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life in Hunterdon County is a community event that allows an opportunity to network with businesses, associates, family, and friends with the same goal of making a difference in the battle against cancer. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Township of Lebanon Committee does hereby proclaim May 11th, 2018, as Carnival for a Cure Day, and May 11th and 12th of 2018 as Relay for Life of Hunterdon County Days throughout our community. We further will encourage citizens to help fight cancer from every angle by participating in the Relay for Life event at the Roger K. Everett Fairgrounds in Lambertville, New Jersey, on May 11th, 2018, starting at 6 p.m. Is there a motion to approve this proclamation?
I'll make the motion to approve the proclamation for the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life of Hunterdon County.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So, next item of business is a resolution number 38-2018. Renewing the plenary retail consumption license for Ona Rosa, Inc. on Route 513. A filing fee of $200 has been paid to the state of New Jersey, and a township license fee has been paid of $2,500. Is there a motion for this resolution?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 38-2018.
Second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Yes. Under old business, we have the topic of a DPW employee, and we're going to table that topic until executive session. Then under new business, the first topic is our Office of Emergency Management update and review, and we have with us tonight our Office of Emergency Management Coordinator, Alan Gracie, and one of his subcommittee members, Joe Maurizio. Did you say Maurizio or Maurizio? Sorry. If you wouldn't mind coming up, and committee man McKee is our liaison to the Office of Emergency Management, so I'll turn it over to them for a review and update.
Wasn't easy. That's all I can tell you. This past storm wasn't easy. You guys.
But we thank you for your communication and work. And we did, last meeting, we thanked you publicly, and we noted the coordination with the county, and the community appreciated it quite a bit. And I think it's fair to say we never reached, I believe by the ordinance, you would be the person who would declare if we reached an actual emergency or disaster scenario.
Emergency declaration.
And we never made it to that in everyone's judgment.
No, correct? We did not. What can I tell you? What we did, what happened? I'd be happy to.
Okay.
Who we sheltered, who we didn't.
I think that would be of interest.
We, and I think Joe would remember this, we had one person ask for a warming shelter. She had spent her time. Now, the county had opened them up, the library. You could have went to Gibson's Gym. You could have went to the YMCA, either location, Deer Path and Lebanon, or you could have gone to the 100 and, I think it's HealthQuest, the one that's on Route 31 there, where the 100 and Medical Center has their offices. She spent some time there, and then we had a request for a permanent shelter for overnight. Now, the county had just opened one up, and they closed it within an hour because they had nobody go to it. Our resident did go down there, and they instead got her a hotel room for the night. So that sort of solved it. We had no other requests. But that was, I think, a little bit involved. Mm-hmm. We had numerous residents call us. See, I, right or wrong, I don't use a township cell phone. I use my personal cell phone. I put my personal home phone on it and my personal email. This way there's no second guessing. If something has to come to me, it does. And Joe knows that for a fact. There were only a few roads that became very critical. Hickory Run, you know about that one. Old Reddingsburg Road up top. And there was one more, and I'm trying to recall it.
You wouldn't put East Hill on that?
You were able to get around it.
Oh, okay.
That was the problem. You know, Hickory Run, it blocked in that one development, the Elk Ridge development.
Yeah.
But I think I got to hand it to Warren. He's here. He kept us up to date on everything. Numerous times he would give me a brand new list, and we tried to get it through the county. I have to hand it to him. Thank you. Really was very good. And he was out all the time. Joe had some incidents with JCP&L, I believe, too, and it might be worth noting.
So I had some local residents that were near where I live call and said that there were wires down. So at that time, Jersey Central Power and Light crews were near Hill Road and Wood Glen Road. They were staging there. So I drove over, and I talked to one of the supervisors, and he and I went riding around looking at some of these. They all turned out to be telephone wires down, not electrical. But one thing that should be noted with this, we had numerous conference calls with county OEM during this whole process. And the initial call on Saturday, the morning after the first storm, Brayton, who is the county coordinator, stated to us that as of 11 o'clock that Saturday morning, 50% of Hunterdon County was without power. And 15 of the townships reported 75 to 80% without power. They also stated that northern Hunterdon County fared worse in this storm than Hurricane Sandy, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. The other issue, too, was that the response of Jersey Central, it appeared as though they really didn't get crews in here till Monday going on Tuesday. Another thing that should be noted to the residents, that a lot of people tend to not call. And the way they respond is based on volume of calls. And that communication should really go out. I think a lot of people just sit and think, well, somebody else is going to call. but it's pretty interesting how the process works. And I personally had worked in that industry. I worked for an electrical utility for 16 years, 12 of which was at a high voltage lineman. So when I look at stuff, I know what I'm looking at. And the interesting thing, feedback from some of the crews that were from other parts of the country, they were surprised at the condition and the type of hardware that was used here. The comment of poor maintenance or whatever is what comes up. I mean, it should be noted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think more so than that, it just took so long for them to get crews here. You know, they only have certain number of people to work all the time. And then they had to go out and bring them in from other states. One day I ran into people from Kentucky, of all places. They just didn't prepare for it. But they're a business, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what else could we tell you?
And unfortunately, residentials are not cost centers. They're overhead.
Hmm. Yes. Not to throw anybody under the bus, but
no,
you're right.
But it is. I mean, at the end of the day, they don't make a dime off of residences in a township like this. It's business. It's big business that have megawatts of usage. That's where they make their money.
Which we don't have.
Right.
Big business.
Yeah.
The one thing I will tell you, and everyone was hung up on their restoration dates, and we had a contact, and they would wind up extending the restoration dates. And I asked, I said, why is that? I thought you said it would be Sunday night. He says, well, we don't like to miss our restoration, so we just jump it a day or two ahead. I don't know if that's off the record or not.
Not anymore.
Well,
not no more.
I had messages on my own home answering machine because I called in initiative first off. Three times they changed it. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of that has to do with the fact that people tend not to call, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they start to realize the volume of what is actually out. You know. And because the way this is configured here, because it's rural distribution, a lot of homes tend to get their own transformer. So you get one primary out, and it could go. I mean, for example, I know where my feeder runs. It ends at Wood Glen Road. I live on Little Brook. But it feeds from right up here. It goes a long way. So that one wire could take out 50 or 60 houses. So it doesn't take a lot for it to really mushroom, just the nature of rural distribution in itself.
Do you want maybe to get an idea how things could be done better?
As I say, lessons learned.
Yeah.
Well, people, I know they've talked about having our own township Facebook page. Okay. If they could post outages or shortages on those posts, we have a chance to look at it even before Warren takes a look out there. At least we have an idea where to go. But there's something that nobody realizes, that if your line goes down or your pole goes down and you make the call, like Joe said, the police also responds. They dispatch calls the police to go out and take a look at what happened. They then go, they'll call the police before they call JCP&L. The police will go out and take a look at it. They'll tell them their dispatch exactly what happened. They'll give them a pole number or an address, and it's reported immediately to JCP&L. So everything that had happened was reported at the same time, real time. I think they were just overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You know?
Do you think resources that have been diverted to Puerto Rico had anything to do with the shortfall?
We can all criticize it. Mm. It's just, it's a business.
Mm. Well, I could give you some feedback on that.
Oh,
the company
okay,
I worked
ahead,
for
please.
Was Consolidated Edison. Mm-hmm. I still have friends that work there. Mm-hmm. There are 200 linemen in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So they were criticized about what happened in New York State. But what I find is interesting is that the governor of New York is talking about how they have Con Ed send all these people to Puerto Rico, but then he's criticizing them for not responding. 200 linemen, that's a lot of guys mm-hmm. to do a lot of work. So
right.
I don't think it affected us at all. I don't really believe that Jersey Central has that many people committed to that.
Yeah.
And I had friends that actually moved from Con Ed to Jersey Central. And I think over the years they've depleted their workforce. If you notice, any new work tends to be contractors. So when you have a storm like this, they physically do not have enough bodies to respond. So
right.
since it's First Energy and they have other operating companies from different parts of the country, then they'll mobilize. But I think this particular situation, the mobilization was a little slower than it should have been.
Mm-hmm. What you guys might not know, they had a JCP&L rep right in the emergency center where our county holds it. Somebody right there that was supposed to relay the information directly. We would send our information to them, and they would relay it. What more could you do, mm-hmm. right? I mean.
And I think their online system had failures, because there was things I saw. It would be, say, there was no outages, and then I know there was literally in my development, there's one house that didn't have power for like 6 days after everybody else got power. And they called. I even called for them. I even texted and emailed the local rep a couple times. And it was days later that I know that they had posted they got power. But you'd go online and it'd be, say, everybody's there. And then all of a sudden, after the calls would show up, there was a power outage. And then the next day I'd log in. I'd still hear their generator, but it'd say the power was restored. And I'm like, not so much. So I think their computer system really... I think their computer system was based on time and figured, well, after this much time has passed, it should be fixed by now, and it would just reset.
It made the restoration date.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't real life.
Earlier about big business and everything, they'll restore a major feeder before they'll do an individual house service.
Oh, look,
in the long run, it really is revenue return. They'll never admit to it. I mean, haven't done that work, but... You know, it's about get the most on with the smallest amount of work. And that also helps the constituency as well.
But also, you have to work from the start. I mean, it also, logically, if this power is coming from Glenn Gardner, to come up through Glenn Gardner and work this way. You're not going to hook the lines up out here and work back to the power source. It just, you know.
Rocky Run had a problem.
Yeah, and then there's a logical path to go, yeah. too. You know,
there was
so.
I believe there was an equipment problem down at that station down there.
Yeah.
So. Well, the other thing that they do like to do with respect to what you just stated, they don't want to heat a feeder up if there's a lot of other repairs, because for them to do it dead makes a lot more sense, because it doesn't require all the isolation and insulation, which slows the process down. So it doesn't really work the way you mentioned.
Well, I appreciated, Mike, you taking care of some of the Facebook items after I did the first couple of them. And you know what else I also appreciate, Sue, where you directed people to the county site. Which is, that's where all of our roads were posted, by the way, in addition to Facebook. But that was, and you did it a couple of times.
Yeah.
You had directed.
Well, through the Red Cross, I would get information through the Red Cross, and I know where it was coming from.
Right. But it helped us, too. But did people do it? I don't know.
So I guess part of tonight was to sort of recap, but part of what's to, just as normal course of business, get an idea of when we should be reviewing our OEM plan.
It expires a year from this August.
Okay.
It's, I believe, 3 or 4 years. I don't have it, but I just looked at the date. I think it's August
2019. Okay.
Is when a new one will be submitted. I mean, we can pencil changes in as people move around, different mayors and stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, what everyone doesn't know, too, is I always fear the worst disasters, and I'm glad Sue mentioned the Red Cross, because they're prepared to help out if we have to have an emergency shelter. And I don't mean for 3 people. I mean, we're talking about the high school, Woodland School, and we've talked to both of the superintendents, and they're okay with it. And you guys did send somebody there to take a survey of Voorhees and North, probably within the last year. So that's...
Well, the other thing, too, is the criteria by... with respect to the federal criteria. We really only have one facility in the township that meets the specifications for handicap access showers, and that's Voorhees High School.
Voorhees High School.
And I believe that's 1,000 people for 2 weeks, I think. They have enough supplies.
They have enough food for 14 days at Voorhees High School. But the Red Cross representatives, and once again, we're talking... God forbid, a real problem, they will bring in cots and help out. And that's what I think is very helpful. So I think we're covered.
There's a requirement for male, separate male female handicap showers, and that's where the schools don't work. We just don't have the setup.
Other than for short term over here, but for East Essex, Green Bay.
I see.
What else can we tell you?
Any questions?
Mostly we just wanted to make sure we had the chance to come face to face and recap. And
call us anytime.
Yep. If you're on the web page, we all know how to
right.
get you.
You have his numbers and you have our personal information. You know, so call us anytime.
And you do answer.
He knows that. Every so often, Brian would text me and say, "How's it going?" And I say, "It's going pretty good." You know, I appreciate that. But I think you know too from the past, Brian. If there was a problem, you know, I'm going to call everybody. But the road department's wonderful. The fire department's wonderful. The police department, they helped.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anything else you want to?
The operational handbook that we have, the plan, how many copies do we have of
there? There were 10.
Where are they?
I don't know. I think you have one.
No. I have one.
You have one?
Yeah, because I was OEM last year. Thank God nothing happened on my watch.
So I know I had 10 of them. Because Kathy downstairs and I were just talking about that. Joe has one. Cunningham has one. I swear you had one, but...
No.
Well, it sounds like we
Brian,
need to pass yours.
Do you think so? Mm-hmm. It looks like this.
Pay me $5.
No. I don't know if it was the mayor at the time.
In 2012? Did you have it in 2012? I don't remember.
Fire department has one.
So we'll get ourselves organized on that.
I can give you as many as you want. Just
or we can make copies from it.
I think there should be 3 in the municipal building.
I leave mine here.
That's the police department's.
I leave it there. And Jack knows. He knows where it is. If we have to go to this, we will. But we try to handle everything ahead of time.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Just request how many you want. We'll take care of it.
Thank you.
There's no other discussion for the OEM. Thank you very much for coming in. We'll continue on with our agenda.
Well, anytime.
Especially in an emergency. We'll
Seeing as we probably know ahead of time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Next item is we received notice within the past week from the State Agricultural Development Committee that they are in the process of preserving two properties in our township, and they requested whether we have any intent or need to widen now or in the near future the roads along these farms. So we've asked our township engineer to draft a letter, which everyone has in front of them, noting this is a property on Red Mill Road and also a property on Mount Lebanon Road. The engineer notes that these properties currently have a 33-foot right-of-way. The township's master plan calls for a 50-foot right-of-way. He also notes that the township currently has no current plans to improve these roadways. However, since they asked about future need or intent, we just let them know that we have a 50-foot master plan, and so we're asking them to see how we coordinate that in the future. If anyone has any comments or discussion on this letter, otherwise if there's a motion to send this letter back to the State Agricultural Development Commission.
I will make a motion to send the letter back to the State Agricultural Development Board regarding the Lebanon Township Road right-of-way inquiry on the SADC direct easement purchase applications.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Next item of business is a request to park a Red Cross car at on Lebanon Township property. The intention is to park it near Fire Station 3. There's been discussion with the police and the fire department, and they can find a spot where it's not out of the way. We've checked with our insurance company. The insurance company is fine with the insurance that the Red Cross provides. Their only caveat is that they would like us to have an agreement with the I guess it's owned by the Red Cross, but the individual asking to park the car here, that would just clarify that the township is not responsible for the vehicle or damage to the vehicle while it's parked on town on the township premise. I would suggest that we, if the town, if the committee so agrees, that we make a motion to approve parking of the Red Cross.
Bless.
Thank you, sir.
Approve parking of the Red Cross vehicle on township property at a location to be agreed by the police, Department of Public Works, and Fire Department, provided that details of an hold harmless agreement acceptable to the township attorney be worked out subsequent to this meeting, but as part of that parking agreement. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion that in that direction?
Can I say so moved? No, yeah. That's not the way to do it, but let's do it. So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you for that. So the next item of new business. I'm sorry, old business.
New, yeah.
For some time, our telephone system has becoming more obsolete. Its spare parts are now discontinued, and new systems actually reduce the cost. Mark, along with our clerk, has evaluated our needs and market alternatives. We have three quotes in front of us, and I'll turn it over to Mark to summarize.
Okay, so we have three quotes. We talked about this before, in trying to, as best we can, somewhat apples apples. It's kind of an impossibility, I think, with phone systems to have apples apples. The first quote and the last quote are hosted systems. This, the quote, the middle quote from Hunter is a premise system. Basically, you know, the hosted system. Let me start maybe with premise system. What we have now currently would be considered a premise system. We have a computer, a box in the basement that all the phones talk to, that we also have copper wire that comes in that, you know, essentially goes to that box, for simple terms. The new systems all, even the premise system, would utilize Comcast, a cable connection for the phone, for the connection back to the phone system. It would no longer use a copper connection, which is through, right now we have that through Cooperative Communications. Is providing the service. Like I said, the first one is hosted. That would basically, by that means, is the only thing that really lives here is the phones and essentially a router that routes the call essentially into the phone system. So the actual PC, so to speak, lives at a major computer essentially warehouse for all intents and purposes. So it's hosted there. The benefit of that is, like in the storm we just had, that phone we have here could be taken somewhere where there's an internet connection and power, obviously, both, and it would work. Whereas in the premise system, there's functionality there that it could happen, but there's other mechanisms that would have to work because it'd have to be shifted. They say they could do it, but then it'd have to be shifted. There's other processes involved. So the hosted systems in that scenario seems to have its benefit for giving us a little more flexibility. All three systems, even the premise system by the nature of what it is, would allow future, some of them I think take into account this, some of them didn't, consolidating the system. So that would be putting the phones at the library that would be part of this, the DPW that would be part of this, the museum that would be part of this, so that essentially would be one number that could be called into and they could hit a number to say, if you want the museum, hit 2, and it would take them to the museum. So it would be essentially one number for the municipal complex. So if somebody didn't know where the museum was, they could always call here, and there could be an automated attendant that could point them in the right direction. It could also, if we wanted to, be directed to the fire department if they wanted, you know, it could be, it's again just another phone that's connected through the hosted system, if it was something that we deemed was worthwhile. the three quotes, essentially the first quote that you have is through TKG, which does currently takes care of the phone system we have here now. That is, like I said, that was the way it's described in there. It's a hosted system. And the second system is Hunter. I honestly think he was somebody who, he wasn't the one who did DPW, was he? Is that how he came about, was Hunter? No, okay. Then maybe it came through...
The league conference, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's where it came from, then, talking to him there. And then the third, just in, as I said, it is the company that I utilize at my office. So I knew them and knew we've had them for 11 years and I've had a problem. So I figured, instead of just picking some random hat... and just have another number to know where, as in comparison... all of them had spelled out that our Comcast service here probably isn't, well, we're probably not getting as much bang for our buck that we're spending. It's probably since the last time we've called to get an upgrade. So no matter what we do, whoever we go with, we should call Comcast and say we want a better service and we should be able to get better service pretty much for the same cost that we're getting now. So no matter what we do, we should do that. But all of them state that no matter which way it goes, it uses very little bandwidth on the cable side to bring the phone system in. So it really wouldn't affect traffic, internet traffic, or anything of that nature. The usage on that is very small. It really comes down to, like I said, the hosted systems, they're Ethernet-based. Some, like the phone system that's in the phone that's in the break room would have to have a new line run to it. I think the first contractor said he'll do that because he knows it's there, and he would put that line in there as part of his package. Monmouth one, I don't believe if they had that in there or not. The Hunter one that's using essentially another newer Avaya system, so they would reutilize all the existing wiring that's in here. They wouldn't need to run new wiring. Again, you can't go apples to apples. You just can't go, it's just impossible to actually truly have all apples to apples, and no matter even how hard you try to explain it out, everybody seems to have their little way to try to push themselves over the top to have their benefit. And
so there was no request for proposal that went to each of them.
Oh,
that
they had to meet a certain part of specs. But every one of them has a little extra that they can give because of the nature of their product.
Okay,
that's what I mean. Like they all, and mm-hmm. This is what they do. This is we have this extra. We do this extra, and we do this scenario. Yeah, so they're about as close as you're gonna get. And the numbers are, if you look at the numbers, mm-hmm. they're all within $100 of each other. The one that is. The Monmouth is not a state contract. Hunter is a state contract. And I also believe that the TKG is also has something to do as depending on if it's this product. I know he does a state contract product, but I don't know if this was the state contract product. I think this was the one he said was less expensive because the state contract product is actually more expensive. I believe that's, and don't quote me on that, so to speak, but I believe that's what he had said.
Are we over a state contract threshold or a bid threshold?
In any of the cases?
Yeah.
They're all very, it's monthly charges. They all come down to monthly charges. They're all,
that's what I thought.
At the end of the day, any one of these packages saves money.
Right.
We're paying well over $1,000 right now. For it, and every single one of these are ranging from like $600 to $800. We're saving money.
Just to clarify, we could approve one of these quotes on the choice mm-hmm. of three
yes.
quotes. We don't need to go out to bid.
No,
anything.
No, we do not need to go out to bid. It's well under any kind of bid threshold. That's because of the leasing, everything of that nature. Every single scenario is a lease scenario, so it's a monthly charge. And then once the lease is done, that value even goes down even further. So in most cases, all the leases, when they go away, that drops them another $200. It really just comes down to, one, if we want to say hosted or premise. If we say we want to go with hosted, that knocks one out of the scenario. And then it comes down to the two hosted. If we want to say hosted, it knocks the premise one out of the scenario. Then we just say we have the two hosted scenarios to talk with and go with. And then it really, you know, we can then sit down and get more details and bring them in to discuss. You know, it's a big change, obviously. My opinion here is that we come with someone that, even if we say to the next meeting, everybody read these over, if they're prepared, talk about it and come up with one of these contractors that we want to sit down and we have another meeting specifically with them, bring them in to talk to all of us and run them through the ringer and ask all the questions that you guys want to ask. Go from there. That would be my personal suggestion.
I'd like to find out if they support panic buttons so that
none
of them
work.
They don't. Okay, so I can just go off on my merry way and do my
talk
analysis.
Every single one of them I talk to, okay. None of them do that. So.
All right.
Because it's a whole other animal. Like, they could do something, but unfortunately involves dialing a phone. It's not immediate hit of a button. So
right.
It wouldn't be a route that, if you're looking for that, it's like, you know, sit there and go, wait, hold on, I'm going to have a phone up.
That helps me out.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, we could put a phone here. We could put a phone in here if we wanted a phone for future use. That's not a problem. It would just be running the Ethernet line or whatever here. But my thought would be is we come up with a consensus of one that we see as the lead, or maybe two of them. It doesn't matter to me if we, you know, and bringing them both in, I could contact them and bring them in, and we can set up a date to talk to them. You know, in a meeting time.
Well, how about the TKG Technologies? They wrote it up very nice and easy to understand.
Well, he's also a resident of Lebanon Township, and he does the system that we have now. I mean, there's...
He came in. Was he the one a couple of years ago
that
came in? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and realistically, at the end of the day, once the phones are here, there's no system here to maintain. That's the other end of it, is there's nothing... The phones... They last for whatever time they last, and they go bad. You get a new phone, you plug it in again. It's you know, there's no major system that needs maintenance firmwares on the hosted side of things. A premise system, you know, you bought a machine that needs, if there's an update, or it needs to get updated. It's now, if it's hosted, it's the responsibility of that company that's hosting it to maintain that server software, to maintain that, you know, the phone software and everything, and keep it current. All your responsibility is essentially to the phones and the network cabling.
I'm sorry if I missed this because I was taking a few notes. In the case of an emergency, and we don't have like a POTS line, like a copper wire line, these phones will still work, the IP, in an emergency, if everything goes down.
Well, POTS lines don't necessarily work.
Well,
our system right now doesn't work because it's not the same scenario. It goes through a PC that has to run on power.
All right. So,
it's not like your phone at home.
That's what I'm thinking. What happens in an emergency scenario with this?
Well, in all three scenarios, all three of them have an app. And like in this case of like Monmouth's, I know theirs. And I talked with them and they all have the same scenario. Is I don't have a desk phone at home anymore. It's my cell at my office anymore. It's my cell phone. So my extension is my cell phone. Somebody dials my extension, it goes to my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same scenario here. So any phone we have here, realistically, Karen could, if this powers out, even she didn't necessarily have to take a phone home. She could just start that app up on her phone, and now her cell phone becomes the phone here. And a call going into the office here would be directed to that. Could be directed directly to that cell phone, and she would call somebody, and she could call out from that cell phone as if she's calling from here. It wouldn't provide them with her cell phone number, so it would basically be cloaking her regular cell phone number as if it was coming from Lebanon Township.
So
in
we
that
could
scenario.
We could get them in here.
Same with Warren. About, you know, anybody who
right had, talk the details on how to make sure that happens so that it's covered in case there is an emergency.
Yep.
All right.
So that functionality is there. On that also. So like you could, like I said, you could take a hard phone if you wanted to and plug it in to power an internet somewhere and it would be as if you're sitting here, or all of them have apps that go on your phone now and it essentially mimics that phone.
So I guess I'm hearing you're not prepared to make a recommendation tonight. Your recommendation is to bring
my recommendation, they personally premise, I don't see a point of it. It's just my personal feeling. I went through this for my office about a year and a half ago with about six quotes and about six contractors. So I just don't see the point of a premise system that is maintenance and pieces and parts and other things of that nature that has to be done here when hosted systems are just so much there's so much less materials we got to keep here.
But between TKG and Monmouth, then
you
don't think we're prepared to make a decision tonight? You think we should have follow-up meetings?
Well, then I would say my intention here would be is if we're prepared to some sense, say if we're prepared hosted or premise, then I'll call Scott and I'll call Monmouth and arrange for them both to come in and talk to all of us and, you know, and run them through, you know, like you, me, Karen sat down with Monmouth. Mm-hmm. I've sat down with the other guys, you know, talk to them, see what the, you know, get a feel for it. I mean, it's comes down to, you know, comfort level and what support they can give in the back end and provide you with. Like I said, I don't, you know, okay. I know Monmouth, but I don't know the systems the other two are. You know, I don't have an intimate knowledge of it, you know, that end of it, but it's fun.
Is that the way everyone wants to proceed?
Sure.
Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Then we'll aim to get the two hosted systems in next meeting.
Yeah, I'll talk to both.
They'll obviously know that they're pitching against each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, thank you for that, Mark. Mm-hmm. Next on the agenda is our DPW manager request for seasonal employees. And he happens to be here tonight. So, we discussed a little bit. This would be paid for out of our Clean Communities grant. We expected, in talking with Warren, he could adjust the hours to make sure that we retain enough money to fund the fall cleanup day, the dumpsters that we would like to use in the fall. I think the wage that we would suggest would be in a range of $15 to $17 an hour, depending on the background of the person, and I think we would turn that over to Brian as the liaison for DPW and Warren to
interview
and decide what the appropriate pay rate would be. So unless there's any discussion or a motion to approve summer seasonal help.
I'll make the motion to approve the Warren to go out and put applications for two summer help employees for this summer.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And the second request from the DPW is to go out for bid for blacktop material. It turns out that Warren historically gets better prices and certainly better material because it's from local sources as long as it comes through competitively on the bid as it has before. So this would be to authorize Warren. He's got the package prepared as he's done in prior years.
Just question, Warren. What's your opinion of these materials? What makes one better? Is it more tar in it? More
the co-op prices are normally siloed material, so it can sit there for hours before we get it. Where the one we go out to bid or try to get to bid on it is fresh made when we pull in there. So it's a lot easier to work with, and it stays hotter coming back here. Sitting in the silo, stuff just gets too sticky and packed. So it's a little rough to work with. If you had a machine, a paver or something like that, no problem. But the guys do a lot of handwork with it,
right.
We try and get it a little fresher if we can. And they don't like making it for us. We used to be able to ask them if we could get it when we're doing handwork with it, but they won't even do that anymore because the amount of people they have going in and out of there. So they just want to keep loading it in the silos, and it could sit there.
So, and we've given no estimated quantities to the co-ops, right? Just since that has been an issue. Okay. So ideally, we get a better price and better material. I see no downside to going out for bid.
Yeah, I don't either. Mm-hmm.
So is there a motion?
Make a motion to give the DPW manager permission to go out to bid for the blacktop 2018 season.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item is insurance related to the volunteer accident policy renewal. We understand that this would normally have. Do you have background on it?
No. Go ahead.
Normally would have automatically renewed, but there is a policy change now where for the same premium, we can get we can now get $50,000 coverage, $100,000 coverage instead of $25,000.
$100,000
for the same $350 premium. Right. Assuming we're also offered the special coverage for certified acts of terrorism. If we were wanted to pay more, I think for the volunteer events that we're having, I don't know that terrorism is a, again, it's insurance.
That would be another $100?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way I look at it is I see here that it has to be certified by the Secretary of the Treasury in concurrence with the Secretary of the State and Attorney General. How long is that going to take? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's $100.
Declare it a terrorist act.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we need it.
Yeah. So is there a motion to renew our volunteer accident insurance policy? And just for the public record as well, this is secondary insurance. So
yes.
If a volunteer gets hurt volunteering in a bona fide event of the township, if they have medical insurance through their employer or whomever, that pays first.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the event that someone doesn't have insurance, the township would now insure those volunteers. So, is there a motion?
So the premium is the same as it was last year, then?
Yeah.
And more coverage.
More coverage.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to renew the premium at $350 for the volunteer accident policy.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next item comes from the volunteer fire department. In the budget process, they requested capital for replacement of their so-called scuba tanks, the Scott Pack tanks. Apparently, there is a price increase coming later this summer, so they wanted to get ahead of that. So they've provided us with a proposal for 21 of the tanks. Total price comes to $26,838, so that's in line with just under what we budgeted. It's a state contract vendor, state contract A80961T0790, so it does not need to go out to bid. I think if someone would like to make a motion to approve this from the committee, it would be subject to the budget adoption on May 2nd. According to our CFO, he recommended that.
I'll make that motion the way you stated it.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next item we have here on the agenda is the photo release form for the township events, and I think we'd also like to table this to executive session to have a little discussion on that. The next item is Recreation Commission request for a new member appointment. The appointment would be for Lori Hoffman to be appointed to the Recreation Committee as alternate one. There's been a number of changes there, so I'll ask Bev as liaison to just go over that.
We have Lori will be alternate number one, which is a 2-year term expiring December 31st of 2019. Stacy Timpson moves from alternate to regular position, and she moved in January for a 5-year term expiring 12/31/2022. And then there is an alternate number two, 2-year unexpired term open right now, expiring 12/31/18.
So I will appoint Lori Hoffman to the Recreation Committee and look for a motion from the committee to support that.
I'll make a motion to approve the appointment of Lori Hoffman to the Recreation Commission.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. The next item is a letter you've got in your packet from the Hunterdon Land Trust. The Environmental Open Space Committee has requested that the Township Committee provide a donation of $500 to the Hunterdon Land Trust, as they requested in their letter. Just for background, the Hunterdon Land Trust is based at DeVore Farm down in Flemington, and they have provided us with good advice. They've got legal experts on staff for both our preservation and management of our existing open space. They're also partnering with the Township for the preservation of the Teetertown Point Mountain Link, otherwise known as the Pelio properties. They're providing or allocating a $175,000 green acres funding toward that purchase. So the motion would be to contribute $500 to support Hunterdon Land Trust in our shared goal of land preservation in Hunterdon County.
I'll
there's not a motion, we can...
I'll make a motion to approve the contribution of $500. This was in, I believe, in our budget. We had this. There was like a miscellaneous.
Exactly. It would be in a there's not a line item for this, but I talked to Greg. It would come out of an administrative fund.
Yeah, I'll make the motion to contribute the $500 to support the Hunter Land Trust based on the being in our budget for this season.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Abstain?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The next, I don't know, if Brian, if you'd like to go over this one?
Well, it's going to be our yearly donation to the Hunter and YMCA, the Active Older Adult Center down here at the Assembly of God. I've been in contact with Mr. Black since the beginning of the year and explained that... although we're over 50% participation from our residents, also the surrounding towns also have residents that come and participate. And so based on that, Mr. Black agreed to try to reach out to some of the other towns, try to get some more donation in. Not that that would lessen our donation, but we're looking so if we could get some more money from the other towns, there's more activities they can do, and there's a need for it. It is being used, so I'm hopeful that some of the other towns surrounding us will be soon to donate and help out.
And this is a line in our budget, as it's been in past years. Yep. So is there a motion regarding the YMCA donation? Active Older Adult Center.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. That takes us up to the presentation of vouchers.
DPW, Allied Oil, this is diesel fuel at the amount of $4,147.57. Hunter and Overhead Doors in the amount of $2,900. And Updike Sales and Service in the amount of $1,472.74. That's all I have.
I have one here for the Township of Tewksbury. This is a shared court. The first quarter of 2018, $9,660.75. I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer, which is General Services, $5,499.
I have our New Jersey... state health benefits plan premium for April, $33,867.12 for active employees, $2,597.38 for retired employees. Our 2018 annual appropriation for the public employee retirement system, $124,600. Cooperative Communications, $1,042.31 for the month of March. Spring Newsletter, postage and mailing, $2,367.67 to Cornerstone Printing. To the County of Hunterdon, our second quarter county tax, $707,289.38. To the County of Hunterdon, our county library tax for the second quarter, $70,726.07. And to the County of Hunterdon, our open space tax for the second quarter, $70,327.49. And to Van Cleef Engineering, professional services related to our tax map maintenance, $1,447.50.
I have one for Michael P. Bolin, our professional planner, and it's related to the affordable housing, review the statutory requirements and various other activities, draft the housing plan for $1,377.50. I have one for North Hunterdon Voorhees Regional May 2018 school tax of $921,360.35. I have one for the Lebanon Township Board of Education school tax for May, and that is $1,654,335. And I have another one for Michael Bolin related to the the attorney hearing on the affordable housing plan, excuse me, the revised the ordinance draft and a couple of other activities, and that's $1,827.
I have one for Allied Oil for gas for the police station. It's $1,593.46. And then I have another for the police and firemen's retirement, the 2018 annual appropriation, $220,438. And that's all.
So is there a motion to approve the vouchers?
Make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 All except for the one that's a reimbursement to me for a class that I'm taking. I approve every other voucher. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Next, we have several correspondence to go through. First, I'd like to read out a correspondence that came in to directed to the Lebanon Township Department of Public Works, to whom it may concern. This is from Mr. Frank J. Pence on Butternut Road. I'd like to extend my sincere thanks to the Lebanon Township DPW for the fine job they did March 28, 2018, removing the considerable piles of roadside brush deposited on my property by our recent nor'eastern storms. The crew arrived early in the afternoon and shortly thereafter chipped and cleared the entire mass. Thanks again for an especially great job. In addition, I noticed a member of the Lebanon Township Department of Public Works team inspecting a phone pole at the corner of my property. I had reported the poor condition of this pole to JCP&L, who in turn reported it to CenturyLink. The pole services four properties that and it had severe shell rot and a no-climb tag nailed to the pole that had been there for several years, apparently. The DPW team members recorded the pole number and said they would report the pole number and its condition. Hopefully this may stimulate correction by the appropriate utility company. Once again, thanks to the Lebanon Township DPW for services above and beyond. And I think we're getting that kind of appreciation pretty broadly after the spring storms. And I think it shows what we see as well, that they don't just do the brush pile. They look around, and if they see poles that are in need of repair, they look broadly. So thank you again to the DPW. Next is a correspondence from Quest Environmental related to remedial action, protectiveness, biennial certification form, soil. Lebanon Township First Aid Squad, 528 West Hill Road, Block 29, Lot 32.05. The letter basically states that an inspection of the cap was performed on April 2nd, 2018. The results of this evaluation determined that the engineering controls continue to perform as designed and intended to protect the public health and safety and the environment. So there's no action required on that correspondence. The next, we have a letter from Assemblyman Eric Peterson, who is writing to us. He has sponsored legislation that seeks to revise the municipality's fair share housing obligation. His bill A-1092 requires a calibration of need for low and moderate income housing to be based on facts, not arbitrary calculations by non-elected advocacy groups. The bill uses census data to define the actual percentage of units occupied by low and moderate income individuals or families in units of disabled housing. He is requesting that municipalities that choose to support his bill pass a resolution in support of this measure. We don't obviously have that prepared tonight. The letter is in front of us, and I'm asking the committee if they'd like to have such a resolution prepared for a future meeting.
I'd like to read the bill. I have no problem with the resolution if I read the bill. And it's
just for point of reference, we are hopefully obtaining our judgment of repose tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, certainly can agree with this or support it, but I just the timing is that tomorrow, hopefully.
That's why there's no action.
Hopefully tomorrow is our day.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long road.
Despite there was email traffic back from Judge Buxbaum about wanting to review the... That doesn't.
We believe all of his concerns have been answered.
Okay, so we're on. Should we table this one more meeting, or should we prepare a resolution for the next?
It doesn't. From our perspective, tomorrow it's of no moment. If you need to read it,
I just want to read it. Just to read it
before
I agree
to
a resolution. Prepare the resolution. I just want to read it. I just want to have some time to read it.
Is that a motion to prepare a resolution? Or is
I don't know
what makes such a motion.
I don't understand. You know, reading some of this, it seems like it's
kind of arbitrary myself, but multiply this by that number.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't. I can't just say yes to something that I don't understand.
Honestly,
I need to read what the bill says.
The summary here doesn't. Yes. It sounds arbitrary to me. It's just like
right.
This arbitrary 100 multiply by 100 number. I mean,
yeah.
What's
unless anybody would like
I'd
to make a motion tonight, we could table it for people to review.
Let's table
and,
it.
I'm not going to make a motion.
Table it.
Okay. We will review that next meeting. Okay, the next correspondence, tax collector's report for the month of March 2018. Taxes collected for the year 2018, $184,912.91. Taxes collected in March for the year 2017, $56,881.88. Interest collected, $6,913. A return check fee of $40. Getting to a total receipts of $248,747.79. We have separate correspondence from the tax collector relating to uncollectible taxes for 2017 in accordance with NJSA 54-4-91.1. The tax collector of each municipality will file a statement of uncollectible taxes for prior years on or before March 1st of the calendar year. There are no uncollectible taxes for the year 2017 for Lebanon Township.
Does that mean all taxes have been paid?
No, I believe
what
that
does
means
that mean?
I believe that means there's we're not taking any charge for taxes that will be written off as uncollectible.
Oh, okay. So there's still taxes unpaid potentially.
That's my understanding. It's
okay.
It's a statute.
It's not like everybody
definition.
Paid their taxes.
That's an
write-off. It's equivalent of the, yeah.
Okay.
So we're not taking any write-offs at this time.
Gotcha.
And anticipating
okay.
Don't anticipate that there will.
But I do believe in our budget we budget for something like 97% tax collection.
Right, yeah, that's what I mean. Like
we get more like 98%, 99%, yeah, so we don't have an uncollectible tax problem.
Yeah.
Okay, next... Next is correspondence from the Hunterdon County Shade Tree Commission letting us know and inviting us to the Hunterdon County Arbor Day Ceremony, which will be held Friday, April 27th at 9:15 a.m. here in Lebanon Township at the Valley View School. The next correspondence is the Lebanon Township Recreation Committee minutes from January 9th, 2018. So we'll put those into the record unless anyone has anything to highlight. Yep. And the Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space Commission minutes from both February 5th, 2018 and March 5th, 2018. So noted for the record unless anyone would like to highlight anything. With that, we're now ready to open the meeting to public comments on any topic anyone would like to address.
I'll make a motion to open public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. If anyone in the public would like to make a comment, you're welcome to come up to the microphone. Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And now the committee needs to go into executive session. This would be Resolution 39-2018. It's quite possible it will take action after we come out of executive session. Some of the items, we've got two personnel matters, and I look to Matt to tell us if we need more detail than...
No, not on those.
Two
no.
personnel matters. We've got two contract matters to brief the committee on, if we need any more.
One of the matters has to do with incidents that arise in the animal control arena, and how we respond to them, what our policy should be going forward.
And the other would be a CWA update for the committee. And then we've got three... although they're related to some of the others, three discussions of litigation exposure, not pending litigation, but potential exposure. So with that, we would look for a motion to adopt Resolution 39-2018 to go into executive session.
I'll make a motion to adopt Resolution 39-2018 to go into executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes.